Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've already made us free, but you want to make us even more free to serve you and do what you want us to do for you. So thank you for those words that have come forth, and we receive them. We receive those words of prophecy from you, Holy Spirit, and we thank you for them. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this message, Lord. I just ask you to bless this message as we move into the Christmas season now, and we focus on the wonderful, wonderful, awesome truths in your word about your plan of salvation, the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, your incarnation, God in the flesh coming to visit us and to save us and set us free. It is so awesome and so wonderful. But Father, we want to take this message that you've given us, and I'm just praying, Lord, that not only would we thank you for the prophetic words that are being loosed in the church and in this house today, but Father, my prayer is that we would all begin to move in the prophetic words, especially the prophecy of sharing the good news. What it means to evangelize is to prophesy and to share the good news with those that are around us. And the more we learn about the truths and the Christmas story and what you did through your Son and through the birth of your Son, and then his death, burial, and resurrection, and the crucifixion, of course, his ascension and his coming back. But as we focus on him coming to this earth to save us, let us just understand even better. Give us clearer understanding than we've ever had before so that we can share these words with our loved ones and everybody in our sphere of influence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So for some reason this weekend, I had the song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," in my head. You know, you ever get one of those songs that just gets stuck in there, right? And that was written, I guess it was written by Andy Williams. I know it was sung by him. But it's a good song. It's a great song, and it's that time of year. It's the season when we start focusing on Christmas trees. Everybody's buying their Christmas trees and putting them up and decorating their houses with lights and every other Christmas decoration that there is out there nowadays. There's so many cool ones. And, of course, everybody's running to the malls and doing their shopping, buying gifts for loved ones. So the song says it's the most wonderful time of the year, with kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer because it's the most wonderful time of the year. And another verse, I just put a couple of lines in here. And hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Well, that's all true and fun to do, but we know the real meaning of Christmas is a lot more than just our secular family traditions and doing those secular things. Although, like I said, those are fun, and that's part of it. We know the real reason is him coming to earth in human flesh to save us from our sins and reconcile us back to him forever. He came and accomplished the greatest mission and won the greatest victory ever for mankind when he came to this earth. That was his reason, coming to set us free. We had gone astray, and he came to show us the way and set us free from sin, Satan, the world, and all the things that are trying to destroy us. So I agree with Andy Williams' song. This is the most wonderful time of the year, but not just for keeping those family traditions, those secular family traditions, but it's the most wonderful time of the year also, I believe, to share the greatest gift of all that's ever been given to mankind, which is the gift of salvation that God purchased for us and gave to us through the body and blood of his Son, Jesus. We know the scriptures tell us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. It also tells us in Ephesians 2:8 that we've been saved by grace. You've been saved through faith, by grace, through faith, not of yourselves. It is the what? The gift of God. And I love James also, chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. A lot of times we stop there, but listen to verse 18. It was by his own will, this is a modern version, by his own will he brought us into being through the word of truth. Listen to that. By his own will he brought us into being. He gave us life. He gave us this new life by his word of truth. And then it says, he wanted us to be the most important of all that he created. King James says he did it so we could be his first, was it first creation or firstborn, part of the first, his new firstborn creation. This modern version, I like the way it puts it. It says he wanted us to be the most important of all that he created. That's why he brought us back to himself. That's why he brought us home. That's how much he loves us. So my prayer and goal for this series, we'll go through probably three or four messages about Christmas and about the birth of Christ. My goal is, through these messages, that as we see the plan of God and the glory of Christ and the glory of the Christmas story like never before, as we learn the amazing truths that are found in the prophecies about his coming and why he came, that we'll be able to share it with others in a way that makes them want to receive God's greatest gift of all, his salvation and his son, Jesus Christ. So we're going to start with the prophecy that was declared by Zechariah when Elizabeth, his wife, gave birth to their son, John the Baptist, actually. This prophecy is just filled with great truths about our Savior and Lord that can fill us with hope and are great to share with others who have no hope during this time of year. Because though it is the most wonderful time of the year for some people, it's also the worst time of the year for other people. People struggle with it. People have lost loved ones, things like that. People who have no hope, which is exactly the situation that Israel was in when Yeshua came to earth, that the whole world was in. That's the reason he came, because the world had no hope anymore. So let's go to the Gospel of Luke, because Luke is really the only one who records the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. So Luke chapter 1. And I just love Luke because Luke, Andrea and I like to watch the Hallmark movies about Christmas. There's a lot of them on Lifetime now, which I usually don't watch Lifetime because it's usually full of junk. And a couple of their movies that we've watched actually include gay couples in it. So stop watching those on Lifetime. Because they're just trying to promote that. That's why they put that in there. They're trying to make it so you just think it's normal and it's just part of society. But anyhow, I've noticed Hallmark used to play a lot of Christian Christmas carols. You don't hear any of them anymore. It's all secularized.
You're not watching enough.
And all they talk about is the spirit of Christmas and the magic of Christmas. They use those terms a lot, spirit of Christmas and the magic of Christmas. So what I like about Luke is he tells us about the real spirit of Christmas, which is the Holy Spirit. He mentions the Holy Spirit over and over. The Holy Spirit, John the Baptist, when he's in the womb, is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes on Mary. The Holy Spirit comes on Elizabeth. The Holy Spirit comes on Zechariah. And they all prophesy and sing songs. So that is the true spirit of Christmas, is the Holy Spirit. So let's read this amazing story. It's just full of the supernatural. The angel Gabriel is the one who went to Elizabeth and to Mary. I'm going to start in verse 4. And I use a modern version, I think, for this first verse. Luke tells us this in verse 4, the reason that he wrote his gospel. I do this so that you will know the full truth about everything which you have been taught. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And when he went into the temple of the Lord, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Love the angels. Don't be And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness." Amen? Joy and gladness. That's what it's all about. We can have joy and gladness now because of Jesus and because of God, because of this amazing truths that are in here. "And many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He also will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to their Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." Notice he didn't call her old. Yeah. "And an angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you'll be mute. You won't be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which were be fulfilled in their own time." They will be fulfilled in their own time. "So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived." God's word always fulfilled, the prophetic word. "And she hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Thus the Lord dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people.'" Then the rest of the next few verses go on to tell that 6 months later, the angel Gabriel visits Mary and tells Mary, of course, that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. She'll name him Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come upon her to do this. And it's an incredible story, and we'll visit that again later, maybe next week or the week after. But one amazing thing was that after Mary conceived Jesus in her womb through the power of the Holy Spirit, she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and this is what it says. "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." So John the Baptist, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, leaps and just jumps for joy when Mary comes. Why? Because he recognizes Jesus in the womb of Mary. That's pretty amazing, right? I always love that part of the story. So we know that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she gives a word. I'm focusing on the prophetic word here, not just the prophetic words which we receive here, like we receive here, but the prophetic words of us. My prayer is that as we read this, that the gift of the Holy Spirit will be stirred up, the gift of prophecy will be stirred up in all of us during this season, to speak forth the words about Jesus. Just like we see in this story. Came on Elizabeth, she spoke a word. Came on Mary, she sang a song. And we'll see that also what happens with Zechariah, which is the prophecy we're going to focus on today. Now remember, there had been no prophecies, there had been no prophets for 400 years. Up until this point, when John the Baptist and Jesus come into the world. Let's drop down to verse 57. "Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day, they were circumcising him, that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who's called by this name." So they made signs to Zacharias, to the father, of what he would have him called. And then, remember this, Zacharias asked for a tablet, and he writes on the tablet, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately, Zacharias' mouth was open and his tongue loosed. May God open our mouths and loose our tongues this season. Amen? And he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, look what he says, verse 68. "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." He has visited. Zechariah knows exactly who Jesus is, that he is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He has visited us. And he has redeemed us. Praise God for the redeeming blood, the redeeming love, the redemption plan of God through his son Jesus. Amen? And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. The horn means power. He has raised up the power of his salvation. The power of his salvation has come in his son Jesus. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. I love this prophecy. This is the most. This is for us. We have been saved from the hand of our enemies, from our enemies, and from the hand of all who hate us. Now, of course, in Israel, when they heard this, they would have been thinking about the Romans and the oppression and the people around them, which it talks about that too. Thank God that we're delivered from bad government. We're delivered from the people that could try to take over our country and destroy our country. Even if they did, we'd still be delivered and set free because we know the truth. So we're still free from them. But mainly he's talking about, we know, our spiritual enemies. Sin, Satan, the world, the flesh. We have been set free from all of those. Amen? He has saved us, and his hand has delivered us from all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This verse is awesome because this verse talks about the covenant that he made with Adam, Genesis 3:15, that his seed would crush the head of the serpent. Talks about the covenant that he made with David. Listen, it's encouraging to see how God keeps covenant with all his people that he promises to make covenant with. Because we're talking thousands of years down the road, all these covenants are coming. He's keeping his word. Covenant just simply means whatever God tells you in his word he's going to do, it's guaranteed to happen. He's going to do it. It's guaranteed. He is a covenant-keeping God. And he talks about the covenant of with Abraham in here too. He just says it next. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, which was what? Through you, through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Verse 74. What was the purpose? One of the main reasons that Father God sent Jesus to save us from sin, from Satan, from the world, the flesh, the devil, from evil, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies. Here's the whole purpose, primary objective, that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Why did God save you? To serve him. To give your life as a living sacrifice to him, to serve him. But he goes on to say something, to serve him without fear. Without fear of judgment from him, because perfect love casts out fear. We know his love is perfect. We know we've been saved from his judgment. But also from the fear of man. Why? Because Proverbs tells us that the fear of man brings a snare. Do you want to receive the words that came forth today? If you're living in fear, guess what? It's not going to happen. But praise God that he has delivered us from all our enemies, so that what? We can serve him without fear, without fear of anybody or anything. Men or devils or demons. Amen? He has given us that victory. He has given us his power and authority. And we're obviously to do it in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Every day of the rest of your life, all throughout eternity, we will be serving him. Praise God. That is the greatest, most awesome privilege that could ever be bestowed upon us. Amen? And that's what the word that came forth today. So that we can serve him. So we can do the things that he's had planned for us to do before the foundations of the world. We are his workmanship, created in him, in Christ Jesus, to do the things that he planned for us to do before the foundations of the world. Amen. Verse 76, and you, child, now he's speaking to his son. He's speaking a word right into his baby son, John the Baptist's life. Don't you like that? First thing that this father does is speak a prophetic word into his son's life. He's what? How old? Was it 8 days old? Is that what it said? There, the circumcision? And he's speaking a prophetic word right into his life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not him, but the Spirit of God through him. Listen to what he says. You, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with the day spring from on high, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. I believe that what Zechariah spoke to John the Baptist is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. You, my children, are called prophets of the Most High, of the Highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. We are called to prepare the way of the Lord for his second coming. Just like Elijah was preparing the way for his first coming. The Spirit of God is telling us today, we're called to prepare the way of the Lord. I was listening to a Robin Mark song. Don't believe it was a coincidence that I put Robin Mark on coming down here. And one of his songs talks about, comes right before Pastor Harvey's favorite song, Revival, that there's a voice crying out, prepare the way. Prepare the way for revival. Prepare the way for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And what are we called to do? We're called to give people the knowledge of salvation. If you haven't been trained in how to do it, get trained how to do it. Because once you've been trained how to do it, if there's fear of man there, that fear goes away. Training makes a big difference. And never let the fear of man stop you from using your prophetic voice. Listen, the shows on TV, all the messages, all the voices out there about Christmas are not, most of them, unless it's coming from you, the body of Christ, is not going to tell them the true meaning of Christmas. They're not going to hear the message. That's why he's calling us to use our prophetic voices to tell them about Jesus. And why? Because everybody will, I just really believe it's a prophetic time because it's such an open time. People have, as Marilyn and I and others have been going out, the Spirit of God is already working on people. They're already open, most of them, to listen to what you have to say if you'll just take the time to approach them. But during Christmas time, people are just, they're really, really open for you to share Jesus with them and talk about the true story of Christmas. And believe me, a lot of them, they want to hear it. They're hungry for it. But if we don't open our mouths and tell them, God will loose our tongues, but we need to open our mouths and share it with them. Amen. We give them the knowledge of salvation by the remission of sins and repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus, is what he taught us. Through the tender mercy of our God. Tell them, God looked down upon us and he saw our condition. He saw that we were lost, that we were sinful, that we were headed for judgment, that there was no way for us to escape the death sentence that has been put upon us, to escape the law of sin and death. But because he's so merciful, he's so tender, he's so full of compassion, he took the time to send his son down here to save us. That he is the day spring from on high. To give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death. Look, everybody out there that is unsaved is on death row. I don't know if you ever thought of it that way. They're on death row. They don't even know it. They've been sentenced and they are on death row and they don't even know it. A lot of them. I didn't know it. I didn't have a clue. But we can share that with them. We can tell them what Jesus Christ did. Now, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and that they can be set free from the law of sin and death through the power of Jesus Christ, through what Jesus did. And we can guide their feet into the way of peace. How awesome is that? How many of you know there's a lot of people out there that need peace right now? My gosh, our nation needs peace. Our government needs peace for sure. God could use one of us to lead them into the way of peace. That's what he was talking about through the words. You believe that this morning? Amen. So let us, just like John the Baptist, continue to grow and become strong in spirit. But we don't want to spend any days in the desert. So that was how he was preparing him. Oh, maybe some of us feel like we've been being prepared in the desert for a while. But when it's our time, as he spoke this morning, he will bring you out completely and he'll put you on display and put you in that position on that platform, as was shared. And you'll have your moment. He'll give you the chance. He'll give you the opportunity and the anointing to do it. Just step into it by faith. Step right out. Step out of the boat. Amen. It's time. It's time. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you. And we want to be your prophetic voice during this time of Christmas time, Lord, this special season, Lord, when so many people are focused on the activities of Christmas and the festivities. And a lot of them somehow still may get the message of the true meaning of your son Jesus and what Christmas is all about. But Lord, we want to be sure that they do. So just release our tongues, release our voices. Let us share the prophetic words that just like were shared through Zechariah today. And let us study these scriptures so that we know what we're supposed to share with them. Give us the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit come upon us this season and release the gift of prophecy as we're with our family, as we're with our friends, as we're sit around sharing this precious season and time with all those in our sphere of influence. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise, and we're believing that many of them are going to receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation that you offer them through their Son, Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and receive communion, and then we'll wrap it up with worship. You. And conquered death, hell, and the grave. He gave willingly his body and blood to be broken and shed for us so that he could save us from our enemies and deliver us from the hand of all who hate us. That he could remember his holy covenant and thank God that through this he, Jesus, establishes a new covenant. A new covenant that releases the Holy Spirit into our life so that we can truly serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. We could never do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. But thank God. Go ahead, ladies. That he came, was crucified on that cross. His body was broken. His blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins to purchase us back to him so that we could serve him without fear. And then he was buried, rose on the third day, and then he ascended to heaven again. And when he ascended to heaven, there was a great coronation of King Jesus, and he poured out the Holy Spirit upon us. Why did he send the Holy Spirit upon us? Fill us with the Holy Spirit so we could serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the rest of the days of our life. Thank God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And that he would give us the gifts of the Spirit so we could be his prophetic voice. One of the gifts is the gift of prophecy. The gift of evangelism. To fill us with power to be his witnesses. Thank you, Lord, for your tender mercy. Thank you for your compassion, your tender mercy upon us. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to save us and set us free and give us this awesome new life. Thank you for redeeming us, Lord. Thank you for giving us light because we were in darkness and we were in the underneath the law of sin and death, but you have set us free and you have given us new life in you. So we thank you. The Lord Jesus, the night of which he was betrayed, Paul said it like this, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you." The Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So as we receive the body of Jesus today, we remember all that he did for us, setting us free from sin, from Satan, redeeming us from the judgment seat of God, purchasing us back for him. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for your body. Thank you that by your stripes we are healed, we declare in Jesus' name. Let's receive the body of the Lord. Oh, and the precious blood. Oh, Jesus. How can we thank you enough for shedding your blood for the forgiveness of our sins? Thank you that now we have the forgiveness of sins through your blood and redemption. You say in Revelation that you purchased us from every tribe and tongue and nation with your blood to make us your own, to bring us back to you. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for paying the price for us. Thank you for shedding your blood to buy us back. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins, the redemption and the forgiveness of sins that only comes through the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the blood. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. And we receive your blood right now. In Jesus' name, let's receive the blood of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Worship team. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.